Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the MMQB, it is Albert Breer. What's going on, Albert?
Not much. What's happening, guys?
So what is the thing that stood out about Baker Mayfield the most to you? The one thing that stood out more than anything else about his performance last night?
I think the overriding thing is just the energy, you know, and it's really hard to quantify, and it'd be hard to explain to someone. But I think if you were watching that game and in the stadium, but even if you're watching that game on TV, you know when you see it, and you can see it. And the way he played, and the way the play split up, and the way his teammates played around him, there's just an overall energy to him. You know, and I remember talking to, actually Scott McLuhan, last year about Baker, and I thought it was interesting hearing him then say, like, for a guy who's kind of small, he's got a ton of energy in his body, and he generates a ton of energy, right? And so, like, for a guy who's that small, there's, like, arm strength and there's torque and there's explosion that you may not see in a guy who's built that way normally. And, you know, after Scott said that to me, you know, it was probably mid-season last year, I started to really kind of, like, that kind of crystallized it for me watching him the rest of the year. And I think you can certainly see that last night, like, that there's just an energy that he brings in his own game. And then that energy almost like transfers to other players and into the stadium in general. It's just such an interesting dynamic to who he is. And I'm sure you guys could feel it. I certainly could. And I was sitting on my couch by myself, you know, in my office at my house. So it's got to be exciting for Browns fans to see that, because I think what you're witnessing is something that, you know, people who follow college football have seen the last couple of years. And maybe the most encouraging thing is, it looked pretty much exactly the same way it did at Oklahoma.
Yeah, Albert, you know, I was down there in the field last night as well, and I've been trying to explain to our listeners and to Chris and the guys maybe who didn't have that vantage point how special it was and how, you know, I wasn't on the bench. I mean, I was there next to the bench, but I wasn't in uniform, and yet I felt like I wanted to go play for him. And it was just amazing. Like, the crowd fed off of it. It was something that I haven't seen in sports in a long time. I mean, I see that sometimes, like when I went to watch LeBron play and the energy that he would bring. He had some of that same sort of energy that I saw from LeBron James that could get a building engaged and into that moment.
And you always feel like something's about to happen. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's the weirdest thing, but you always feel like something special could happen. And, you know, it's funny, Dustin. I remember rooting against him last year when Ohio State played Oklahoma and how frustrating that was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you got him. And Ohio State had probably the best defensive line in the country last year. And you got him. No, you don't. You know, and he wiggles out and he finds a receiver downfield. And all of a sudden, what should be a 5-yard loss is a 30-yard gain. And it's different than Johnny, too, because I know it's an easy comparison to make, because it always looks so under control. You know, it's just, like, and it's funny because, I think it's what's, like, been really remarkable about Pat Mahomes the first 2 weeks of season two. Like, you know, everything you'd heard about, and the comparison these guys have both drawn is the same one. It's Brett Favre, you know? And with Mahomes, I think one of the things that's so encouraging about watching Patrick Mahomes the first 2 weeks of the season is that, you know, you heard, like, he's doing all of these funky Brett Favre things, and he's kind of a gunslinger and all this different stuff. And he's gotten out there, and you see the talent, but he really isn't playing that way. He's playing under control. It looks like he's playing within the offense. Like, there's rhyme and reason to everything he's doing. And I felt the same way about Baker last night. Like, you know, we know what he's capable of doing off schedule, but he was doing a lot of things on schedule that were really good too, which has got to be encouraging, because that's a sign he's studying. That's a sign he's learning. That's a sign he's getting what they're teaching him, you know? And it's just, I mean, God, I probably sound over the top now. I probably have some energy talking about him, but it was such an exciting thing to watch last night, you know? even for somebody who has no horse in this race, no dog in that fight the way I did last night.
Talking with Albert Breer, the MMQB, he joins on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. I think a lot of people are feeling that same kind of energy that you are, Albert, and that same kind of excitement that you are. Hugh Jackson has stopped short of naming him the quarterback moving forward. There's no way, right? I mean, I know it's Hugh Jackson that we're talking about here, so.
You can't sell. I mean, like, here's the thing. Even if you were thinking about that, you can't sell that to the locker room. You know what I mean? And I'll give you guys, I had a conversation with you earlier this afternoon, and, we talked about the conversation that we had 6 or 7 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I've said this on the air with you guys, you know, Dustin, I know you probably recall a couple times I've said this to you, is one of the reasons why they didn't want to put Baker in there to begin with was they didn't want to saddle him with everything. You know, like, they didn't want to saddle him with the history of first-round quarterbacks the Browns have had, from Tim Couch to Brady Quinn to Brandon Weeden to Johnny Manziel. They didn't want to saddle him with 1-31. You know, they wanted to let him learn. And so, you know, when I doubled back with Hugh on that this afternoon, and he didn't tell me who's going to start one way or the other, and, you know, I know he wants to tell his team first what his decision is going to be. I said, like, do you still feel that way? Do you still, like, feel like you don't want to saddle him with it? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the answer basically came back that, no, we're not worried about that anymore. We think he can handle it. And so I think that's a huge step towards saying, yes, he's our starter, is that, like, you think that he can handle everything that goes along with being a starting quarterback in the NFL, even though you're a rookie. You know, and so I can't imagine that there's any turning back now. I frankly think it would be really, really hard for, you know, Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley and Ken Zampezi and all those guys to try to sell that to the locker room after what we saw last night.
Yeah, I said this with Chris earlier. I think that you sell it as plans have changed. You know, you wanted to bench him. You wanted to let him sit, but a guy got hurt. And you were prepared to put him in because he was the backup and he played really well. And this is a business, guys. This is not about feelings. This is not about, you know, mm-hmm. You're trying to win games. And
remember,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I mean, like, this is how, like, he was there in Baltimore. And that's, I think, the best example. Like, the closest thing that he's been, closest situation he's been into this one. Mm-hmm. And that's how Joe Flacco got in the lineup in 2008. Mm-hmm. You know, like, mm-hmm. if you guys remember, they were going to sit him and – I think it was actually Troy Smith got some sort of it was some sort of illness or something like that, wasn't it?
Yep.
And then it's like, okay, well, we're going to play Joe Flacco now. And then Joe Flacco played well, and that was it. And, you know, this is sort of the same thing where you hate to say that somebody having a concussion has opened the door for something potentially that could be really, really special, but that's what this is. You know, like, you sort of have a natural end now to put him in there, and mm-hmm. I can't imagine you wouldn't take it.
You know, there's a lot of people that have been saying today, Albert, it was against the Jets. The Jets didn't have any film on Baker. It was only one half. Keep it in perspective. How do you think Baker is going to respond to the changes that defenses are going to try and make against him?
I think the same way a lot of other young quarterbacks do. And, look, there's a natural progression that happens with these guys, and I think it'll happen with Baker. You know, the same way it happens with a lot of them. And I think it's going to happen with Pat Mahomes. Uh-huh. It happened with Carson Wentz 2 years ago. It happened with Marcus Mariota in 2015. You guys can look up all the numbers.
Sure.
I mean, it's there. It's what happens is that guys get in and no one has any tape on them, at least NFL tape on them. And generally the coaches are holding some stuff back that's specifically for that quarterback. And so now you've got that combination where there's not a ton of background on the player mm-hmm. and there's not a ton of background on what they're going to be doing. And I feel like it's like about a 4 to 6 week period where the offense and the young quarterback can hit the defense with stuff that they haven't seen. And so that's, I think, a huge reason why Carson Wentz like came out like gangbuster. Deshaun Watson last year is a great example of it. You know, a lot of these guys come out of the gate and it's like, oh my God, like he looks unstoppable. And then, you know, there's a natural regression. And so I think that that's probably what you're going to see here. I think Baker will probably play well, as we're presuming he's the starter, will probably play well for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. And then you're going to see him level off a little bit. You'll see some rookie things happen. And that's okay. You know, that's what they have to go through. And I think Wentz is a good example of it to bring up, because if you look, like, his first month in Philly as a starter, he looked awesome. And then the rest of that year, I think the last 12 games, he had 9 touchdowns against 13 interceptions. Wasn't very good. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, then he went back and he learned how to counterpunch and fight against what they were throwing at him, and he was an MVP candidate in year two. You know, and so, look, you don't want to get carried away with expectations. We saw a ton of great things last night, but, you know, there's certainly going to be an adjustment that I think teams are going to make to him, and that'll come with time. And, you know, certainly seeing all that Baker's been through, some of the things that were borderline unprecedented that he did in college, I mean, you certainly have to think that he's got the goods to fight through it, but it will be a fight. There's no question about that.
Albert, good stuff, man. We appreciate you joining us.
All right, thanks, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.